All right. Welcome. Whoops, sorry a minute. Now we're gone. Welcome to Moadon Ivri Hebrew Club. Glad you guys could make it today. We are on 1 Samuel chapter 25, beginning at verse 30. And if you'll remember, we're right in the middle of David and Abigail. Abigail's making her plea to David to save her worthless husband, worthless species of a man. Remember, the Ish Belial, that worthless guy, Nabal. All right, and so we're right in the middle of that when we pick it up at verse 30, and there's some kind of hard syntax here in these next couple of verses, so we'll do the best we can making our way through it. This is one of those examples where the vocabulary is not at all difficult, but the way that the wording goes and the things that they leave out does not make for smooth sailing, as you will see. All right? So, verse 30. Vehayaki ya'aseh Yahweh la'Adoni. And it will come to pass when Yahweh does for Adoni, for my Lord. Remember, she always refers to David as my Lord. So it will come to pass when Yahweh does for my Lord, kekol asher deber et hatova aleka, according to all, now notice the word order here, according to all which he spoke, namely the good to you. All right, one of the things that makes it difficult, remember, is that she refers to David in the third person and also addresses him in the second person. And that's what happens here. So in good English word order, when Yahweh does for my Lord, according to all et hatova, all the good thing, all right, which he promised Aleka to you. All right. Vet Zivka Lenagid al Yisrael. And he, now what's Zava? To command. But here, notice, it's more in the sense of appoint you. Okay. And he appoints you as Nagid, as leader over Israel. Okay. This is all part of that temporal clause. So notice almost all of verse 30 is a temporal clause. And verse 31 is the main clause. So just remember the when that I started. When Yahweh does to my Lord according to all the good which he promised to you, and when he has set you up as leader over Israel, comma, okay, now verse 31, below tihya zot leka lepuka ule mishkol lev la'adoni. Then not this will this not be to you? And by this she is referring to killing Nabal and all the guys, all the males, remember? That's what he was going to do. So she's saying, when you become leader of Israel, then this will not be to you as a puka, as a pang on your conscience. This puk means to wobble, all right? But this is the only time the noun is used in the Old Testament. So, notice the English gloss. You can kind of fill it in as you want. Notice the next word, ule mikshol, kashal, means to stumble. Here you put a mem in front of it and it becomes a noun. So it becomes a stumbling block to your heart, lave. All right. So notice puka and mikshol are synonyms. All right. So then this will not be to you as a something nagging on your conscience and as a stumbling block of your heart. Okay, or of the heart to Adoni, to my Lord. Okay. Now here's where it even gets kind of a little more obscure. Ve lishpakdam chinab. Shafak means to pour out. Remember, this is an infinitive construct, to pour out blood. And then chinam, everybody see that? Does anyone know what that is? Chinam?
Vain.
Yeah, or for nothing, or for no good reason. And remember what this, see this form? The noun chain means grace or favor, and very often to make an adverb, you add a mem to the end of it. So chain means grace or favor. Chinam means freely or without cause. All right. So this will not be to you as a puka, as a pang on your conscience, or as a stumbling block of the heart of my Lord. and as the pouring out of blood for no reason. See? And as Hoshea Adoni, again another infinitive from Yasha. And here, you know the meaning of this word? It means what? To save from Yasha. But here, notice it's used with, and my Lord saving himself. And it's the connotation is he takes vengeance by himself. See, he avenges himself. And that's why you'll see a lot of translations actually use that term to avenge for this Hebrew word in this context. In other words, it's not as if David is saving himself from danger, but he's actually wreaking vengeance on Nabal for how he treated him. All right? Notice how convoluted it is with all these infinitives. Okay? Let me finish it up and then we'll kind of go back. The hativ, notice that that's a hifil from Yatav, to do well, and Yahweh's the subject. And Yahweh will do well, Ladoni, to my Lord. Okay? And Zakarta et Amateka, and remember your handmaid. All right? So the last part, when Yahweh does well to my Lord, comma, remember your handmaid. So see, you notice she skips around to about three or four different thoughts in this verse. And that's what makes it difficult. We only have one or two words that we don't know, but it's just the way they're put together becomes very hard to understand. That's why you will see translations, when I check this out, they're all over the map as to what to do with it, actually. So let me kind of do it again, going from verse 31. It gets clearer after this. It's just this section. All right. Oh, let me go back to verse 30. And it will come to pass when Yahweh does to my Lord, or for my Lord, according to all the good which he promised to him, Aleka, and when he appoints him as leader over Israel, then this must not be to you as a puka, as a cause of bad conscience, and as a stumbling block on the heart to my Lord. Okay? And probably as an example of, or as a instance of, the pouring out of innocent blood. Right? And as another incident of my Lord taking vengeance into his own hands, avenging himself. That's probably the best way, Hoshea Adoni lo. And as another instance of him avenging himself. And when Yahweh does good to my Lord, comma, then remember Amateka, your handmaid. Okay? That's the end of her argument. I mean, it's been going on, notice, for a lot of verses. Okay? Does anyone have any questions about those two? Yes.
I have a couple questions.
Yes, please.
The key, is that common to do a temporal clause using that?
It is. The most common, as you guys know, is an infinitive preceded by a bait, but you will see it this way.
Okay.
And notice I'm basically interpreting, trying to figure out the relationship of that key clause to the rest of the sentence. You know, it would be possible, I suppose, to translate it in, like, maybe concessive, or I don't know if that fits as well. See, what you're trying to do is figure out how the clause relates to the main clause. And sometimes you have keys that do that, temporal.
The other question I have is the zot.
Yes.
To denote demonstrative, right?
Yes.
And that's referring to an idea?
Yes.
So there's no reason why it's a feminine.
That's a good question, and that's actually a really good question. When in Hebrew you are referring to an abstract idea, the feminine is more common, much more common. It's kind of the standard way to refer to. So notice she's referring to this whole situation that she knows could happen. And that's what she's referring to. That's why it's feminine.
Okay.
Good.
Just like boats are feminine.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right, good. Verse 32. Now David. Vayomer David la Avigal, Baruch Yahweh Elohe Yisrael asher shalachek hayom hazeh likrati. And now we're in smooth sailing. Then David said to Abigail, you guys all got that, Baruch, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who shalachek, who sent you, hayom hazeh, on this day, likrati, to meet me. Remember, kara has two meanings, to call or to name. But usually in infinitives, it means to meet, to happen onto. A mikra is an event or a happening. Okay? Good. Questions on 32. Wish it was all that easy, right? Okay, verse 33. Ubaruch. Good. See here another one. Ubaruch. Mamek u verukaat asher kelitini hayom hazem mivo bedamin behoshe yadili. And blessed be, okay, tamek. See the noun underneath it, ta'am, which you might have learned as taste. And it's very common in context with taste. Here it means sense or reason, kind of mental good taste. Okay? So, and blessed be your judgment. Okay, and blessed be you, at. See, notice the beruka is again a passive participle, this time feminine. Okay, and blessed be you, at, second feminine singular, who, now this is a little more difficult, kelitini. The root here is actually kala, kaf, lamed, aleph. Okay, kaf, lamed, aleph. The aleph has just elided. It's not there. And so it looks like kaf lamed hey, right? Except that it really means blessed be you who restrained me. This is a call, perfect, second feminine singular plus first common singular suffix. Kala with an aleph means to restrain or to hold back. Sometimes it's used to imprison someone. All right. So, blessed be you who restrained me this day, mibo be damim, from entering into bloodshed. Remember, we had this same expression earlier last week. Okay. Blessed be you who restrained me this day from entering into bloodshed. Damim, plural of dam. Okay. And again, understand the min here. And from Hoshia Yadi Li, and from avenging myself, Li Yadi, by my own hand. Okay? In other words, he didn't do this on God's command. He was doing it on his own. So again, blessed be your judgment, and blessed be you who restrained me this day from entering into bloodshed and avenging myself, Li Yadi, by my own hand.
Question here?
Yes. Yeah, notice that we had this discussion last week, and I looked this up actually, and I'll tell you guys after class who are interested in. Remember, we said that the bow, since it has a min in front of it, is an infinitive construct, right? The Hoshea is an infinitive absolute. If you're interested, I never am that much concerned whether it's an infinitive absolute or infinitive construct. You can tell kind of how it's functioning in either case here. But if you parse it out, Hoshea is an infinitive absolute, while Bo, we said, remember last week, is an infinitive construct, because the min there clues you in on that. I can talk more about that later. Okay. But again, just if you get infinitive, you'll be at home plate right there. All right. Good. Any other questions on those? All right. Verse 34. David continues talking. Ve'ulam chayav Elohei Yisrael asher mena'ani meharaotak. And ve'ulam means however. However, chayav. Notice, as soon as you see chayav, what kind of speech is this?
Oath.
It's an oath. He's making an oath. By the life of the God of Israel. Or as the God of Israel lives, who menani, here, mana, here you're going to get two words for the price of one. It means to restrain. So notice that it is a synonym with kala that we had in the previous verse. So just remember, kala and mana mean the same thing. So as the God of Israel lives, who restrained me from ha-ra, doing evil. What's the root of ha-ra? Anyone see it?
Ra.
Good. Ra'a. It is a hiphil infinitive from ra'a. Ra'a means to be evil in the call. Remember? It's a stative verb. So in the hiphil, it means it becomes active. From stative to active when you move to hiphil. To do evil. And remember, that's how stative verbs commonly work. It's not causative. It becomes active. So blessed by the life of the God of Israel who restrained me from doing you evil. Otak. Okay. Ki lule mihart vatavoti. Okay, yeah, this is kind of a weird form. Ki lule. Lule means unless. Okay, sometimes it's spelled with an aleph at the end, sometimes a yud. So unless or if not. So, by the life of the God of Israel who restrained me from hurting you, ki, surely, unless, mihart, you had hurried. That's a PL from Mahar. Unless you had hurried, or if you had not hurried, vatavoti. If you had not hurried and if you had not come. This is from Bo, all right? Second feminine singular, and if you'll notice, there's a textual issue there, 34b. Notice that a lot of the manuscripts just want you to read it, tavot, okay? And either way, it's clear that it's second feminine singular. Okay? If you had not hurried and come, likrati, to meet me, ki'im, notar lenava ad or haboker mashtin bekir. Okay, here's why Sam came, just for this last verse right here. Surely, ki'im, notar, what's that? Good. Well, not participle, but it's perfect form from yatar. Nifal, and you know it's perfect because it has a patach under there rather than a kamatz. Okay? Certainly not, ki'im, certainly not, notar, would be left. Okay, certainly there would not be left. Yatar means to be left or to remain over. To Nabal, ad or haboker, until the light of the morning, the old mashtin bekir, the one who urinates against the wall. Okay? This is what got me interested. I told this story last week. This is what got me interested in the Bible when I saw this. I'm like, the old King James, he that pisseth against the wall. I'll say it one more time. I go, whoa, that's in the Bible? So notice again that phrase is used in derogatory terms throughout the Bible. It's used, I don't know, 10 to 15 times. It's always in a context like this where someone's going to destroy someone. So they don't even refer to them as servants or whatever. It's just every male he's going to do away with. All right. Good. Any questions through 34? All right. Verse 35. Vayikach David miyada et asher hevilo. Then David took. What's the root? Lakach. Good. Then David took from her hand et asher. What hevia, what she had brought to him. Notice that that's a hifil from Bo, what she had brought to him. Vela amar ali leshalom leveitek. Okay. And to her he said, ali, go up. This is from Allah, again a feminine singular call imperative. Go up leshalom, in peace, leveitek, to your house. So go up to your house in peace. Okay. Re'i is another feminine imperative from Ra'a. See, okay, kind of like Hine. Okay, Re'i. See, Shamati Bekolek Vasapanaik. See, I have listened to your voice. And I have Nasa lifted up Panaik, your face. That Eseh is a simple call, imperfect Vav, consecutive from Nasa, to lift up. I have lifted up your face. In other words, look, I have heard your word and I have shown you favor. See, I have lifted up your face. So in other words, he's going to do what Abigail said. So her strategy was successful. Okay? Questions through 35. Okay, now we see what... We go back, we return to Nabal. Oh man, it's typical. Vatavo Abigail el Nabal Venhine lo mishte beveto. Kemishte Hamelech. Okay. Then Abigail went, Tavo, to Nabal. Okay, now here it is. Vehine lo, and look and behold, to him a mishte. To him there was a feast. Or, and look, he was having a feast. To him there was a feast, Beveto, in his house, Kemishte Hamelech, like the feast of the king. like a king's feast. So see, the contrast is startling, because Abigail's out there in the wilderness, saving his butt, you know, having had to take all this kind of stuff to David, who's all, remember, he's armed to the teeth, ready to come in and kill everyone. And what's Nabal doing? He's totally oblivious. He's sitting there eating like a king, all right? And remember, he refused, it's another indication of his selfishness, because he refused to share any of the stuff that his, that the men, David's men asked for. Remember, should I take from my own men to give to you? And here he has more than enough, see? Okay? Velev Nabal tov alav. And the heart of Nabal was, well, it's literally, was good upon him. In other words, he was having a good time. Very idiomatically, Nabal was in good spirits. Okay? Vehu shikor ad me'od. Okay, you can guess what shikor means, even if you've never seen the word. Take a guess.
Got drunk?
He was drunk. Shikor means drunken. Shakar means to drink. Sheker is the Hebrew word for beer. It's kind of a synonym with yayin, wine. So you got yayin, vesheker, wine and beer. All right? So, the heart of Nabal was good on him. In other words, he was in good spirits. And he was shikor, drunken, ad me'od, adverbially, really drunk.
Super drunk.
Super drunk. Okay? V'lo higida lo davar katon v'gadol ad or haboker. And she did not report to him, again from that God. So she did not tell him a thing, davar, small v'gadol, small or great, ad or, until the light of the morning. Okay? Verse 37. V'ayhi baboker v'zeit hayayin min aval. Vataged lo ishto et hadevarim ha'ela vayamat libo vekirbo vehu haya le'aven. Okay. And it came to pass in the morning when the wine had come out from Nabal, she told him, or ishto, his wife told him et hadevar ha'ela, all these things. His wife told him these things. Okay. Vayamat libo. And his heart died. Kirbo, and his heart died in the midst of him. Keref, in the midst of him. Behu hayala afan, and he became like stone. Okay, we'll read one more verse. You can see what happens when we finish up with Nabal very quickly here. Vayhi ka aseret hayamim vayigof Yahweh et Nabal vayamot. Okay, and it came to pass ka aseret hayamim, in about 10 days, or about 10 days passed. I would probably translate, there was about 10 days. Okay, or it happened in about 10 days. Vayigof Yahweh. Yahweh nagaft, smote, struck. A simple call in perfect vav, consecutive. Yahweh struck Nabal, vayamot, and he died. Okay, so less than a week after, less than 2 weeks after these events.
So you think he was a stone for 10 days? Or
I think that that's just figurative. In other words, he was so, it just means he was paralyzed with fear.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think he had that state for 10 days?
I think so. I think
he was in that state, that he just had it and then he got better.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, when she told him the news, that was the turning point in his life. So I think it affected him. I don't know. Interesting though. All right, good. We will start next week with verse 39.
All right.
We'll get into 26 probably, yeah? Take care, you guys. Thank you.